Okay, so we'll begin this evening's meeting of the Finance and Facilities Committee for School District 41, June 25th, 2012, and it is 7:08 in the evening. Would you please take a moment and review the minutes from the June 11th, 2012 meeting?
I'm good with the minutes.
You're good with the minutes? Okay. Then the one and only agenda item this evening is the fund balance project priorities, and we were asked to take a quick look and review certain plans that we might put in place with excess fund balances should we arrive at that situation as we did last year. So we spent some time over the past couple of weeks, and we've identified certain areas where we would recommend that excess fund balances might be where we might acquire them for a period of time until we ultimately decide how to dispose or spend those resources. First item on that list would be property acquisition. Second would be capital projects, but tied in with capital projects would be 21st century classroom work, which, just for a few examples, might include STEM labs at the primary and the primary and middle level. And also what we spoke about was updating the LLC in Hadley. Mm-hmm. All in with the plan of moving things forward with the 21st century classroom. So regarding capital projects, we currently have the roofing plan has been updated. We expect to get results of that back in the next couple of weeks. And the plan really is to start bringing recommendations for capital projects and other things that we see on the agenda for 2013 projects for the summer of 2013. We'll start that work in Japan in August, as a matter of fact. Any comments?
Bob, since we have two members of the Finance Committee are not here, would you mind sending an email to both Dan and Steve? And just email that attachment.
Well, this attachment is just my own personal notes.
Okay.
I don't have anything. We didn't create anything. This is just sort of an open-ended discussion about how to start that conversation, because we know that we'll probably run into that this fall, early winter, when the comprehensive annual financial report is completed, as well as in preparation of conversations for the levy.
So I was thinking, since we have two people that are out, would you send them a quick email that says these are the four things that, just so it's a record, and they can, someone can come back and say you guys didn't let us know.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be
and it'll be in the notes too.
Okay. But it'd be nice to be able to just email it to them.
And I think it was Dan who raised it as a question about, well, what would we be considering if we have in excess of 25% of our budget and fund balances? And, more serious discussion, obviously, would take place in the fall, and we would present to you a formal recommendation rather than, just a discussion. But, it's certainly easy to send that along to them and let them know.
Okay.
That's what we're thinking at this point.
And that's all I'm thinking.
Sure.
Drew, do you get the sense from other Finance Committee members that there's a kind of a mental list that they have? Do you have a...
I do not. I mean, my biggest concern is roofs. And I've expressed that to Bob. In my opinion, that's the 800-pound gorilla in the room in terms of capital projects if we have to get into one of those groups.
Well, Ann and I were in a conversation earlier today, and I told her that we were having some issues with roofs, particularly Lincoln, Ben Franklin, and Hadley are starting to have some issues. So we'll have that conversation again. The roofing analysis is due back probably early summer, and I'll be providing that to the board when we start capital project review in August.
Bob, thank you so much for putting that list together for Dan. And it's very helpful to kind of give us kind of your insights in terms of what you see in terms of the priorities.
And sure.
I find that very, very helpful.
Well, we've had some conversations. Now we brought a group together regarding the Hadley LLC, and that group is working, I guess, since springtime. And their recommendations are going to come back to the group. That we're going to be making some recommendations on how that area may be sort of retrofitted. And it's the belief that that would probably become a summer of 2013 project. It might prove to be a good use of resources, fund balance resources that we might have available.
Sure.
We could do more.
We could do more than what we currently have sort of on our radar, on our agenda.
Drew, do you want to share your perceptions of the first Finance Advisory Committee? And
sure. I thought it went very, very well. I was very pleased. Everyone that was there seemed to have good questions that had some kind of a thirst to understand a lot of different things. I was very excited that John Mulhern actually did attend. I know he's a very busy guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you got his email, but he sent me an email just saying
afterwards
saying
no, I didn't.
He really appreciated being invited.
Good.
So.
That's great. Good. Well, John's always a great contributor. You know, he always has something meaningful to offer. And
we thought it was a great team of people that coming together.
Yeah, I was very, very happy because you know when you send a call out to the community, you don't know what you're going to get,
right?
You know,
right.
And I was very very pleasantly surprised. Mm-hmm. It seemed like we had a really
out of that group. Did everyone with the last at the last finance committee? We ticked off seven names. I think it was.
Yeah.
Did all of those folks attend?
Yes. Yeah.
Great. Yeah, I might have missed that. Sorry.
And it was interesting to note that it was about a half an hour for us to get through the area since we started talking about state finances. That's where everybody's interest sort of peaked. And a lot of good questions. I think they were, we had some good answers for them and some good insights. And I thought it was a good conversation overall.
And did you do the charge for the committee that night as well,
yeah,
in terms of their roles?
Yeah. And you did purpose and non-purpose.
And we intend to have one more meeting this summer, and then we'll start setting up a quarterly schedule after that.
Great.
And we really haven't had an opportunity to determine what's the information that we'll be giving them next. But, you know, I was thinking maybe last year's levy, and I made some notes downstairs in terms of things that might be helpful for them just to generally start to understand how we do certain things.
That timeline in our policy budget is always really helpful for me.
Yeah.
I mean, we distributed that again this year, but just when things happen is helpful.
Yeah, sort of the calendar of events.
Yeah.
Well, I think they, you know, they don't have an understanding of the levy process and how it occurs and when it occurs and the crazy disalignment with budgeting. And so I think there will be an interest in understanding. They had questions about the pension. They wondered about the pension reform and the impact on the district. And but I think the another nice thing about the group is that they each have financial background, except Bill Enright, who said, I don't know why you asked me, but they all have financial background of some sort, but it seems to be all kind of different pockets.
Right. It wasn't
all just
like banking
or all CPAs. And they all have had different experiences in the district. You know, in terms of whether they were just a parent, you know, I mean, I don't know, just a parent, but I mean, you know, had not had a chance. Like Andy Hummel, I think this is probably his first foray into district participation, all the way through Ray Asick, who is a former board member, and Jim and John, who've been on the master facilities.
Right.
So they've been around district information for a number of years, which is good to see them willing to come back for another dose.
Well, and I think probably John's experience on the library board in terms of understanding their finances and how they operate will also be, you know, insightful to to this group. But I'm really hoping that one of the things they can do is, you know, as I said to them, serve as a think tank mm-hmm. about some of the issues that confront public education and provide us a sounding board and a different lens to our own thinking.
Could certainly evolve potentially into being a voice for the district when we have lobbying days downstate mm-hmm. and, you know, mm-hmm. having that kind of insight. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's the plan for introducing the this board to the their committee to the public?
Julie's going to do an e-news, I think you're thinking tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
And letting the community know who the people are.
Yeah, that's great.
We didn't invite them and say under the cloak of anonymity.
No one can know who you are. Yeah, that's good.
No, it went very, very well. Mm-hmm. Very, very good.
Good.
So that's all the business I have for this evening. Anything else you might have questions on or care to discuss prior to us beginning the board meeting in a few minutes?
Any news from the city of Eaton?
Any new news?
Any new news.
Okay. You have received all the news we've received.
Okay.
I wouldn't really expect anything more.
Okay. We've sent them a letter, as you know.
We sent them a letter at a residence.
Yeah. And unless I don't know whether the mayor will respond to our letter. I'm going to guess not.
I am a little. I was interested, or it is interesting to hear your take, Erica, mm-hmm. on how you thought that they probably aren't recognizing the fact that those buses are going to actually come out of the parking lot.
I don't think so. I was saying to Bob that I downloaded the audio of the meeting, the Wheaton City Council meeting on the 18th, and listened to it on Friday. Because I had received a phone call from Councilman Cease 3 weeks ago about a call from one of the residents. It was Mr. Miller, and his concerns about the, you know, initially the trees and the parkway, and then wanting to brainstorm some other options. So I walked Phil through the project and the length of time, how long, you know, certainly gave him Bob's name. He said, yes, I'm familiar with Mr. Sorella. And it ended there. So I was, you know, disappointed to see that they rescinded this. And when I was listening to it, I mentioned about and to Ann that I didn't get the sense in listening to the residents that they understand the next step, that our deliverables are not changed. That the intention of moving bus traffic out of the parking lot is still going to happen. It will be without the benefit of a pull-off, and we will have 18 buses on Hawthorne.
We started that about 6 weeks prior to the end of school, so.
Right.
It's already.
And I just want to, for the record, Bob, say that in listening, and I was actually, my video wasn't working, and I was actually glad, because I think when you're only listening to audio, at least for me, my senses take in information a little bit differently. I'm not looking at body language. And I think that you handled the questions and the kind of what I call the kind of the perseverating question, which was framed one way, then tweaked just a little bit, and then a third time, and then a fourth time, looking for you to answer differently, which you did not. And you also, I think, were appropriate when you said, and this isn't verbatim, but essentially you said, with all due respect, the project's begun. And we're moving forward. So this is not a, you know, with all due respect to the Wheaton City Council, you know, there was some brainstorming and idea generation, et cetera, a lack of, I think, recognition maybe of this is, you know, this is done, it's permanent, we're moving, you know, we have our plan.
Well, I think that, you know, the idea that we hadn't thought of other alternatives when there were 125 options for the parking lot, but in the past we've looked at other ways of entrance and egress.
Right.
We did that 3 years ago in the master facility plan.
Yeah, and so I think that's unfair to assume that we didn't do brainstorming and that we didn't look at different ways. The fact that neighbors came back with options that we had already examined and eliminated, doesn't make them new.
Yeah, it's a little surprising to me that as much planning as this council has done, the Wheaton City Council has done over the years with their own stormwater problems and things like that, you know, understanding the depth of planning and what goes into that, it seemed a little surprising to me that there was this, I would call it naivete around, well, now let's have some more conversation and see what we can do. You know, they know we're on the timeline for the start of school. We're working in tandem with this other project in Glen Ellen, or maybe they didn't realize that. But, you know, but that's why I don't think that the residents necessarily walked away hearing what you said at the end, which was, this is not a marginal improvement. The intention is to get the buses off, which you restated, I think I counted 3 or 4 times, and it was good. You know, to get out of the parking lot, the Glen Ellen Police Department have advised and recommended that we separate this traffic out. You shared those 3 fender benders. You know, you gave your insights. So I think that you, as always, represented the district very well. So I thank you for that.
It was just interesting when, especially the alderman, that would ask, was this a marginal or a significant proof? I mean, that's open to interpretation.
Sure. Yeah.
So he was not going to go with significant improvement.
Right, yeah. And it wasn't to the credit of... Well, to the credit of the council, I mean, Councilman Rutledge, I believe it was, did acknowledge...
Yes, he did. And I did appreciate that.
Yeah, the fact that we were in...
Nice to see you.
...in course, and, we realize that this is, at a minimum, it's an inconvenience. And
he stated clearly, he says, I have some concern. He sort of admonished his fellow council persons, and he stated that, I'm a little concerned here because we signed an agreement 2 months ago, and here we are pulling it out after the project's already been stated.
Right.
Started. What does that say to our fellow other governmental agencies and to our community?
Right.
So somebody got it off their chest, but he still voted for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And acknowledgement on the part of Mayor Gresk and Councilman Cease that when things are on the consent agenda, they need to do some more due diligence.
Because we did everything they asked for, and that's
right.
These kinds of agreements, when they're not functioning, that's a, we've talked about the recommendation to put things on consent.
Right. I was thinking about that.
No, you only put the perfunctory things that you do every time on consent, unless it's, an annual approval, then it makes sense to put it on consent. But that's something that, you need time to make sure it's public. And
any other comments, concerns? Hearing none, we're adjourned.